This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A little bit of gas came out then. Excuse
You're
me.
You're shattered.
I am a bit shattered, yeah. Been a busy boy today.
It's very exciting. Got your studio.
Got studio opening soon. Mm-hmm. Can't do that without wanting to sound like Keith Lemon, where he goes back to me in studio. You know, on through yes. Gio. Yeah, so I'm opening this really cool hair studio in Soho.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I'm going to invite people to come and get their hair done. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it for free, as long as I can film them getting
Very
their hair
good.
Done. Because the idea being is that people will turn up and say, oh, I've got this problem with my hair. And I'll go, yeah, great. Like 10,000 other people have that problem as well. So let's do a little video about how to solve it. And then one, they get their hair solved, but then hopefully, you know, 10,000 other people
and
get the solution.
And they're going to learn how to solve their hair themselves as well at home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're such a good teacher.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. So, yes, me and my partner, Reese, business partner, just in case you're worried there. I've been decorating and I picked up a van this morning. I hired a van from Traffic Self Drive. There's my first recommendation. Traffic Self Drive in St Albans. And I picked up a transit van. I love driving a van.
Yes, I've got to say it suits you.
It's a very manly thing to do. Mm. I spoke to my brother today and he said, are you driving a transit van? I said, yeah. And he went, you enjoying it? I went, yeah.
Did you speak to your brother?
Yeah, yeah.
That is so weird. Did he tell you that I sent him a song?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he told me he'd send
But
it.
How weird is that? Mm,
what song did you send him?
I sent him the Baxter Jury song.
I knew you would have sent him that song.
But I knew he'd love it.
Are you recommending that song on this podcast?
I'm going to recommend it.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm going to leave you to do that.
Okay.
But yes, he did say that you'd sent him a song that he thought, and he absolutely loved it.
Mm.
He said it was classic Davina song. He said, you know, deep, boom. So that was quite funny. But it was really funny when he said, do you like driving the van? Because he knows, like, of course I do. You know, like, I love pretending I'm a man.
God, you're one of the most manly men I've ever met.
But, you know, I do a very kind of feminine job, really.
Yeah, but
you know?
Everything else that you do, all of the rest of the time, is so manly.
Great.
You know, you play golf, you play football, you make things, you hammer things, you've got DIY all over the place.
Yeah, okay, good.
Construct stuff, you drive vans.
It's how I keep
you do electrics.
Yeah.
Don't
tell anybody that. I'm probably it's probably illegal for
a
layman to do electrics, but
I'm
good at it. I put lights up, don't I? Yeah, yeah, all that.
That's all right.
I don't actually know. I don't think it is anymore. I think you're supposed to get a skilled professional to put lights up and stuff.
Oh.
But, you know, they're expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, but you're so good at
it. I'm very good at it. I know what I'm doing, you know. But, yeah.
Who taught you?
A Reader's Digest book of DIY.
Does my dad, Reader's Digest still exist?
I don't know. My dad was a member of the Reader's Digest and he had these DIY manuals. So when I left home very young, probably 16 or 17, I stole the DIY manual. So I'd always know how to fix things, you know. What was funny in the DIY manual is that...
It stood you in amazing stead, right?
What was good about it is it taught you how to build a swimming pool in your own back garden.
That's very handy.
I just loved that section that you dig a hole and you had it levelled in this particular way and all that. You know, I thought, one day I'm going to build my own swimming pool. I haven't done that yet. But so, yes, I've been doing manly things and it's perked me testosterone no end. So you'll be delighted about that. I think it's worth it pointing out that we've been away for a few days in France with a friend of ours called Peter.
Yes.
And for some peculiar reason, we went really northern.
Yes.
I can't shake
it
off.
Well, he's northern.
He is kind of northern.
He lived in Grantham.
Yeah.
But which we found out is in Lincolnshire.
For whatever reason, for comic purposes, mainly to entertain ourselves, we both went
extreme northern.
Northern pub bloke.
Mm.
I'm having difficulty shaking off the northernness. I've enjoyed it so much being northern that I can't get rid of it at the moment.
You should do it more.
It'll settle down a bit, I promise. So how are you?
I am very good.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. I did a screening last night for my menopause documentary. So this is out on Friday. The menopause documentary is out the Monday after this podcast comes out.
Oh, is
so
it?
So it's on the 2nd of May.
Okay.
And there's an enormous kerfuffle going on mm-hmm. around the HRT shortages, the menopause.
It's very interesting that there's a shortage because, you know, a cynic would say somehow that this shortage is on purpose, but it can't be, can it? I mean, people make money from selling HRT.
And also the shortage is dangerous. I mean, women kill themselves.
Yes, absolutely.
So but it's not...
It would be fascinating to understand why. And you've contacted some of these companies to see...
And none of them get back to you. None of them get back to you. They just send you a round robin back. It's extremely frustrating.
I mean, if anybody knows out there, or anybody knows anybody who works for a pharmaceutical company...
Yeah, no idea.
It would be great to find out why there would be a shortage of
supply chain of a product or something from
it. Or an ingredient or something like that.
But yes, it's...
You told me they're made of yams. Is that right?
Yes. So it's derived from yams. It's not actually made from yams. Okay. Somebody's not whittling up sort of HRT.
in their garage.
In a garage.
With a Nutribullet.
It's made in a laboratory, but it is derived from yams. It's natural and it's completely body identical. This is the new transdermal HRT.
I wonder if they just need more people to farm yams. I wonder if it was that.
I don't think it is.
You don't think it is?
No.
Okay. If anybody knows, we'd be
We'd like to know.
To know.
I don't even know where to start this week, but I'm going to start, because we've already mentioned it, with that track.
Okay, yeah, great. So I've got a track to talk about as well.
That track is by Baxter Jury, who is the son of Ian Jury.
Yeah.
It's called These Are My Friends, and he did it with Fred Again. Now, do you remember what I recommended, We've Lost Dancing?
Yes.
We've Lost Dancing was Fred Again.
It was Fred Again, okay.
And in fact, it's Fred Again, 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 I think.
Okay.
That is his name. But it's really funny. Baxter Jury sounds so like his dad.
Yes, I agree.
Ian Jury was an absolutely amazing performer. If you don't know him, go and buy New Boots and Panties. Which was his best album, arguably. But he used to have a band called The Blockheads. And The Blockheads, in terms of musical prowess, were one of the tightest bands. Complicated music, really complicated rhythms that just never missed a beat. They were so... Do you know what I mean when I say tight?
Absolutely.
It's
do.
A bit
yeah,
like
yeah.
when a dance troupe dances together and they all finish at exactly the same time. They were amazing. Now, I met Ian Jury at a karaoke night, and he, as an 18-year-old girl...
Did he hit you with his rhythm stick?
He didn't, actually, thank goodness. But he did invite me down to the studio the next day to go and try doing... a bit of sort of talking over a track that he had for a musical that he was doing that I don't think ever saw the light of day. But I got to be in a studio all day with Ian Jury. It was the most amazing thing. Like, what a gift.
Wow, I mean, that's brilliant,
Anyway, his son, Baxter, very nearly called Chester Baxter.
What year was that, just out of interest? Like, 83, 84?
No, hang on. So, 87, I was 20. So, probably 86?
86, okay.
87?
Yeah. It was just interesting, the types of bands that were around at that time. You know, there was a lot of rubbish around, basically, from what I can remember. And there was a handful of absolutely brilliant musical bands. And Ian Jury and the Blockheads was one of them. I think Madness was one of them as well. And you look at the skill of playing the piano, and then you had a saxophone player, the drummer and the percussioner and all that stuff, and the Style Council, also I'm a massive fan on, as you know, but they were all bundled into this one pot of real musicians, I think.
And I very nearly called Chester Baxter.
Oh, it's a great name.
But nobody
Baxter.
Let me call him Baxter because of Soup.
Okay.
Which is really annoying because...
Nobody thinks of Baxter
Soup
anymore.
Nobody think of Baxter Soup.
If you'd called him Heinz, I would have been a bit worried.
Yeah, but Baxter's such a cool name.
It's a great name.
And the words, he sounds like his dad. Mm-hmm. It is hilarious. The words are very funny and it's an absolute banger. And I'd like to thank my daughter, Tilly Robertson,
for
that recommendation.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, where did she stumble across it? Just at a party or something?
No idea.
No, okay.
But she knew I would like it.
Ah, very good. So I've got a musical recommendation as well, actually. So my good friend, Jeff Lloyd.
Oh, yeah.
So Jeff Lloyd is a broadcaster. He was on Virgin Radio for a long time. He used to have a show called The Pete and Jeff Show.
Yeah, we've talked about him on the podcast before. He's like a friend.
And Pete Mitchell sadly died, actually, and I recommended a kind of tribute show that Jeff produced for his good friend Pete probably about two or three years ago now. That was really good. And Jeff has two podcasts. He has one with Ed Miliband, and then he also has another podcast as well, I think called Adrift. Anyway, he's brilliant, and he's a really good friend of mine, and I love him dearly. Anyway, he rang me the other day, and he said, I've been comped two tickets to see Florence and the Machine at the Drury Lane Theatre. Do you want to go? Now, weirdly, Florence and the Machine had been pinging through my Instagram a bit. Not that I followed them at the time, but they kept getting recommended to me. And I thought, God, I'd love to go and see them. You know, so
I mean, we love Florence, right? I was very jealous.
So when it pinged through, I was like, do I want to go? Like,
of course.
Yeah. And the Drury Lane Theatre, for those that you don't know, it's kind of a small theatrical theatre in London, probably holds maybe 1,500 people on three tiers, you know. And the tickets he had
how close
so
are we?
Good. Well, we were row N, which was
in the stalls.
In the stalls.
Amazing.
But the front row of the second section, if you like. So there was nobody in front of us. And then I was on the end aisle as well towards the centre. So it was just perfect. And I just couldn't quite believe it, really. And I hadn't really seen a lot of live music for a long time. We went to see Inhaler, I think. I was really excited. And then she came out. And I thought, I bet it's going to be one of these, I'm doing all my new material type stuff. And I thought, well, I don't mind. You know, she's such a brilliant singer. I thought, I'll go with it. But she didn't. She started off with the banger, the No Light.
Oh, wow.
Which I was like, oh, my God, like, we've got a hit
and her straight off. I mean, she is a performer.
Absolutely,
she is a real throw herself around, always wears fantastic floaty dresses, which look amazing.
Yes, I mean, the dresses are a real big part of her performance, and also her fingers, I noticed. She does a lot of these kind of things with her fingers. And I remember thinking, God, if she lost her fingers in an accident or something, it would be a real tragedy because she really uses those fingers, you know, because she uses them as shadows and through the smoke and all the rest of it.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, wow.
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yes, let's hope that doesn't happen. And also her hair, you know, is a big part of it. She throws it around a lot.
That's amazing.
It's really great colour and all the rest of it. Anyway, about three songs in, she says, oh my God, it's been awful. You know, the whole lockdown thing, we've not been able to perform for so long. And she said, you know, I'm really stuck without an audience. I'm stuck without music and I'm stuck without the ability to dance. And I thought, yeah, God, it is interesting. You know, everybody's missed this socializer of dancing around and prancing around with people and that kind of close contact you get when you're dancing in a nightclub or something. Anyway, she said, this is a song about, you know, just how much I've missed singing and dancing and missed an audience and all the rest of it. And I love performers, really. Performers get a bit of a bad rap, I always think. They always get kind of called a bit narcissistic or self-indulgent or whatever. But I mean, could you imagine a world without performers?
Oh, God, like, world without art, like...
Yeah, like, you know, if you removed all the actors and all the people who wanted to perform and all the kind of slightly narcissists that desperately want to be seen, we'd have nothing to watch. There'd be nothing to entertain us, you know. So I'm always delighted when people confess to wanting to perform or wanting...
Well, potentially, we wouldn't be here.
Oh, my God, like, we are performers, I think, you know, like... So it was really nice, you know, to her just kind of confessing her desire to do that. I thought it was great. Anyway, she sings this song called Free. And it's just instantly, I just thought, bloody hell,
wow.
I love this song.
It's
you know, it
really
was
good.
A classic Florence and the Machine song. So it starts with this absolute thumping kind of rhythm that just goes do 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 do. I think you said, wow, it's a running song. You can run to this. You
but
get excited to it.
No, but it's the perfect running beat.
Yes, I know. It's brilliant, you know. And then she talks a bit about how, you know, her mental health suffered, I guess. And she obviously seems to struggle with her own with herself in some way. I don't know an enormous amount about her, but what she was saying on stage is just how difficult she found it, not being able to express herself or not being able to kind of see people or dance with them or whatever. And this song seems to embody the whole thing.
Mm.
It's just brilliant. Mm. It's a brilliant song. And then there's just this idea that in the chorus where, you know, when she hears the music and she feels the beat, and when she starts dancing, she feels free. But I was just covered in goosebumps for the whole song. Mm. And then she said, it comes out tomorrow. So the song just came out last week. So the album's not come out. I think there's two tracks on it that have been released so far.
I bet the album's going to be ace.
Yeah, well, she sang maybe four or five songs off it.
All of
yeah.
lockdown to...
So if you're looking for a new song to listen to and you fancy an absolute banger kind of indie rock super energy song, it's bloody brilliant.
Bloody brilliant.
And it's called Free, and it's by Florence and the Machine. You'll get it on Spotify and Apple Music and all of that jazz. But the words in it are fantastic, and the way the song builds, and then there's this huge crescendo, and it's everything I love about music. It has all the right ingredients. So that is my first recommendation.
Oh my God, that was like you'd actually done a sort of piece.
Was it?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah, I topped and tailed it, you see.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay.
I am going to talk about Otto Pasta.
Oh my God, great. I'm so glad you're going to do this, because I've forgotten.
A good friend of mine recommended this company to me because she knows the chef.
Okay.
And this is basically a food home delivery kit, which takes eating pasta to the next level. So they do 8 dishes.
Okay.
8 different types of dishes. They're always changing because they use
seasonal
food.
Okay.
They are very simple to cook. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling a bit lost, you just go onto YouTube. They show you how to cook it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just look up. They call it eightness. And they've got a thing where they've got 8 points. So Phil Howard is the chef, one of Britain's best chefs. He's been cooking at the highest level for over 30 years. He's had 2 Michelin stars for his restaurant, The Square. He was mentored by the Roux brothers, Marco Pierre White, Simon Hopkinson. I mean, he's amazing. They use, as I said, seasonal produce and the very, very best food, the best tomatoes in season, beautifully aged pecorino and parmesan. So there's 8 dishes, always lots of great choice. They make their filled pasta and pasta sauces every day.
Okay.
So it's completely fresh pasta. Can you just name some of the ones that are out today?
Yes. So this is the one that we had. We had a ravioli of scallop and prawn with herbs, lemon zest, spring onions and butter.
My God.
It says elegant,
extraordinary,
luxurious, and utterly delicious. So it was £26 per double portion. But I mean, it was like top end
Michelin
restaurant
star.
Quality.
Like,
it was
it's extraordinary,
amazing.
And
yes.
You cooked it.
Yes, I cooked it. I mean,
you know, that's the thing. Mm. Like, you could really impress someone.
Oh my God! If you had somebody over for a date, if you'd got someone on Tinder and you invited them over and you did this,
they would
go, like, Jesus.
You know, they'd be like, oh my God, this person's a keeper. Now, the secret ingredient. Do you remember what the secret ingredient is?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
What is it?
It was like a pasta water.
Yes.
Yeah. It was like a salty pasta water that you got a sachet of.
Yes. So you get a sachet of pasta water. And adding pasta water to a sauce comes naturally to Italian cooks because they know it really enhances the final dish. And the pasta water is the matchmaker in the marriage of pasta and sauce. It emulsifies the sauce and merges the flavour of the dish's 2 components, making the whole greater than the sum of the parts. Mm. I love that! So like I said, they've got great video guides. They cook with whatever's in season and they respect the planet. So it's all about the recycled packaging. They reduce the need for a cooler bag. They freeze the pasta's water sachet to keep the rest of the box's contents cool.
Oh, okay.
So they freeze the water, put it in with the food. So then you don't have to do, which is something that really bugs me with other food deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
They put in all these frozen plastic things.
Yeah, and you've got to get rid of it.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
The packaging is exquisite. I mean, it's too beautiful almost to eat this pasta. But You mentioned quite an expensive dish.
Yes. I mean,
but other ones are like 18 quid for two.
Yes.
Which
£16 for two, £17.
£16, £17.
£15.50. So, yes, I did.
So, you know, if you're at university, that's expensive. But if you, you know, rather than going out for dinner, it's an amazing alternative if you want to do a special meal. But I mean, this is extraordinary food and I cannot recommend it high enough. It's really, really good. Now, I'm not sure where they deliver to.
Yes, me too.
Or how far they go. But I know that they would definitely deliver to London and the outside of London.
So, yes, it looks to me like they're
out
all
of London.
Central London. We covered these postcodes in and around London, most London postcodes. And then it looks like the Kent, I mean, TW, is that Tunbridge Wells?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So TW8, TW9 and TW10.
Oh, no, that's Twickenham. No, that's Twickenham.
Okay. Well, I totally agree. If you live in and around the London area, go on the website, have a look, order a couple of things and tell us what you think. But I was utterly blown away. I was so excited to make it for you because it made me look so good.
I mean, you really did look so good. But can I also say, because we were sent...
Yes.
Four different dishes, and you cooked four different dishes simultaneously.
Yeah.
So you were really good. Oh, well, you didn't just look really good. Yeah, you actually were.
Do you remember they do like soup? They did a minestrone
soup.
Oh
my God, it was
soup?
So good.
And they put in a little lump of focaccia, like a tomato-based focaccia that you just throw in the oven for a couple of minutes.
The focaccia was ridiculous,
God
wasn't
almighty.
It
was fantastic. Yes, so
here
there
we
go.
The focaccia.
Olives,
£4.
Burrata,
if you're thinking
salad.
About it, you've got to get the focaccia. And look at the antipasti box.
Oh, God,
hello.
Yes.
Okay. I'd just eat that.
Do you know what we should do? I mean, yeah, okay.
What?
Well, we should order some, like, for here.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, what were we thinking?
I love it now. I'm really hungry, by the way.
Oh, okay.
That's good. I have a food recommendation as well.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Just before my mate Andy took me to see The Broken Shark. Remember the Jaws thing?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you recommended it.
The Shark's Still Broken or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did recommend it. But he took me to this Thai restaurant called Thai, Rose's Thai, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a meal that I have loved ever since I moved to London. Because I used to go to this Thai restaurant called Thai Vera.
Oh, is it the gravy?
It's the kind of soupy gravy thing with flat noodles and then loads of veg, but chicken and prawns
and you've
in there
never
as well.
Known what it's called.
Never know what it's called.
And you've never found it again.
Never found it again. And then at Rose's Kitchen, Rose's Thai Kitchen, they had it on the menu.
What's it called?
So it's called Pad Si U. Ew. So P-A-D for Pad, S-E-E, and then E-W-E. It's called
stir-fried flat noodles.
It's called different things in different restaurants, you see. Mm. That's why it's so difficult to pin down. But it's it says Thai comfort food at its best. Wild, wide rice noodles, stir-fried with eggs, spring greens, and a sweet soy sauce. And you can get, obviously, veg, chicken, or chicken and prawns, which is what I get. Oh, my God, it is so good. So if you're coming to London and you like Thai food, you've got to go to Rose's Thai Cafe. It's called rosesthaicafe.com, so you can have a little look. There's actually tons of them across London. And I know this is a bit London-centric, this, so I do apologise for this. And we will do something more nationwide, perhaps, next week. But the restaurants are fantastic. So if I just click on locations.
Is it just in London?
It seems to be, but there's lots
there's
and lots
loads
of them.
Oh,
Cardiff.
Cardiff.
Okay, so there's one in Cardiff. Baker Street, Angel.
Birmingham.
Blue Water. The Blackwall Tunnel, by the looks of things there. Brixton, Carnaby. Carnaby, oh, gosh, that's near me. Clapham Junction, Chelsea, Ealing, Finsbury Park.
I had no idea it was a chain.
No, well, me neither. It was only once I started to...
Liverpool, Manchester.
Manchester.
You've done something nationwide.
Oh, my God.
No need to apologise.
You're very welcome, everybody. But you must go. It's really good.
I mean, how hard is it to get a chain that's that good?
Yeah, it's tricky because they all kind of deteriorate slightly as they get slightly
And you know
big.
What I really like?
Yeah.
They all look completely different.
Yeah, they do, don't they? If you go on the website there and
it
have a look at
the locations.
It doesn't
look like a chain because none of them look the same. That's very clever.
See, they've got Westfield's Stratford, but not
Westfield,
White City.
Yeah.
Mm. So Rose's Thai Cafe, go and have a look there. It's a really, really nice place, especially if you're going to the cinema for a quick bite to eat. I didn't need to book a table every time I've been, although I think they do like you to book. But it's great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, I've got a really, really weird website, but I thought this was a very positive thing for any parents listening or anybody that knows a child that has a tricky parent. Because as a child of a tricky parent, I felt very lonely.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do or who to turn to. And it did seem that all of my friends had completely normal parents and I didn't, you know, they all seemed really lovely. I seem to remember calling a lot of my friends' mums mum or asking them, can I call you mum?
Okay, yes.
Which was
a
bit sad. So I found myhorridparent.com. There is an actual website called myhorridparent.com.
Wow.
And in the menu, it's called Horrid Parents, Reactions, Coping, Blog, Makeup of a Horrid Parent, Positives, Years Later, Avoid Becoming a Horrid Parent. How to cope with a difficult parent, feel better and grow stronger.
Oh my God.
Isn't that fantastic?
This is amazing.
It says horrid parents exist in all types of family, big, small, rich, clever, poor or struggling. Yet talking about living with a nasty parent is a taboo subject. And you know, I really struggled with that when I talked about my mum passing and how my sister and I had reacted. People found it quite shocking because I did feel relief.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to explain to people who haven't had a difficult relationship with their parent. Anyway, so if your friends get on well with their parents or your parent puts on a front and behaves well in public, you can seem very disloyal. Life with a horrid parent has been a no-go area for far too long and we're tackling it on our website to help their children to manage. So it's saying, you know, it's saying it's quite non-judgmental. It's saying, look, no parents are perfect. We're all struggling as parents to try to do the very best that we can. We all make mistakes, but as a child, you can go through this website, or there's a thing for Childline on there to kind of help guide children of when it's the right time to call Childline or when they should get help. But it does give very helpful advice.
That's absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, I'm really pleased you like it because I thought you might think it was stupid, but
not at all. It's just such a brilliant idea.
It's clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's funny because I hadn't heard about it, and I feel like this is the kind of thing that should be absolutely everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, well, we can repost stuff, can't we?
Yeah.
It comes on the thing because that's absolutely great. What a great idea.
Myhorridparent.com.
Well done, whoever set that up.
Yeah.
That's a really... It just never even occurred to me that there would be a place out there.
And also, I really like the idea of having some sort of resources on there for parents to not become horrid.
Oh my God, right? Like,
I mean, if you're going,
am I a horrid parent?
And like, if you're going to be a parent, then
go and have a look.
You know, it's quite useful to go and have a look and kind of know. You know, and they've got all the different types of mothers, all the different types of. Parents and all the things that a horrid parent is likely to say, and about how the comments can make you feel, how to cope. And this was created, produced, and written by Angela Levin and Alison Corner.
Wow. I was going to say, were they both horrible parents? And then
She's Alison Corner is a clinical psychologist and has worked with children, young people, and their families for many years. And Angela Levin is an award-winning journalist. Mm. One of her specialities is human interest stories. She's written 9 non-fiction books, and she had a difficult mother.
I recognise
Alison Corner.
Alison Corner, yeah, I don't know why. Mm. Well done to the pair of them. That's absolutely brilliant.
Really, 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 really good.
When I was becoming a parent, I read 2 books. Mm. One was the Oliver James book, They Fucked Me Up.
So good.
It's fascinating.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. So if anyone's about to become a parent or they're just interested in the whole psychology of it. Oliver James wrote a book called They Fuck You Up, which I believe is stolen from a poem. They Fuck You Up. I can't remember who the poet was. But I found that book.
It was mind-blowing.
Brilliant, it was. Yeah, really, really good. And it was really helpful, I thought. It gave me a lot of confidence, anyway, to be a parent. And then the other one, I had a client who bought me one called The 60-Second Father, I think. And it was this idea that, obviously, dads are at work a lot, generally speaking. And it was how to be good with the time you've got. You might not have that much time with your kids. So even if you only had 60 seconds, I think it's The 60-Second Father. It could be The 60-Minute Father, but... but I found both of those. Yeah, please do. I found both of those really, really good. And then I can't remember if I had anything else. I bought a book called Raising Boys.
Stephen Bedoff.
Yes. So I found that super helpful as well. But yeah, those were probably the main. Was it The 60-Second Father?
Well done.
Yeah, The 60-Second Father. Yeah, great. But I found it great.
60-Day Father.
What? I'm okay, yeah. So anyway, the recommendations for you if you're interested. I've loved being a father. It's one of the greatest things I've ever done. I absolutely adore it.
And you're very bloody good at it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Okay, we've got two films we want to talk about. The first one, let's talk about Coda.
Oh, God. So we have talked about Coda before because I watched it.
Oh, okay.
And I did slightly recommend it, but I just wanted to recommend it again. Mm. It did win the Best Picture Oscar.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? Yeah.
And it was such a surprise winner. Mm. But I did not know that it was Alid Jones' daughter who plays the lead role. She is completely and utterly mind-blowing. How she learned sign language and looked so comfortable with American sign language. You know, you really have to, I don't know it so well to look that casual when you're signing.
Mm-hmm.
And every actor in it is amazing. I love her brother. The parents are so fantastic. And my daughter started watching it. And the first half an hour, she was like, oh, God, I don't know why we're watching this. This is a bit boring. And then at the end, she was, sobbing. Both of us were.
Yeah. Well, my brother rang me today. I told you, I spoke to Steve today. And he said, have you seen Coda? You know, I was like, yeah. And he said, God. He said, it was right up there with E.T. I could not stop crying, he said. He said, I was bawling my eyes out at the end, you know. He said, that bit in the room, you know, where the parents are there, he said, it was a killer. But yes, I absolutely loved it. I mean, you know, we've seen something similar before done in Four Weddings and a Funeral, where Richard Curtis casted the deaf guy, you know, to kind of translate things to Hugh Grant. And it's a brilliant vehicle.
Yeah, it's Hugh Grant's brother.
Yes. It's a brilliant vehicle for comedy, first of all, but it's also a brilliant way of expressing feelings and all sorts of stuff. Because,
and you can really put the passion.
Oh, it's superb. Mm. And I'd never seen it done stretched across a whole film before. And I did think, oh, I wonder if the gimmick will wear out or something, but it doesn't ever wear out. It's just, it's not a gimmick. It's absolutely brilliant.
And beautiful. And you can express love and anger and frustration in such an amazing way using sign.
And it gives the film room to breathe in a way when that sometimes dialogue just doesn't allow you to do it. It was pretty faultless, really, I thought. It was really, really good.
And I love the brother, the deaf brother, going out with a hearing friend of his sister's.
Yeah.
And that was interesting, her trying to learn a bit of sign, but them being so unbelievably attracted to each other that they just kind of made it work and muddled along. It was so good.
We should give a shout out to everybody who recommended it to us, because we probably had 300 people tell us to watch
so
it.
Much.
And I know we don't always get back to you, but we do always kind of clock these things and make a note of them and then try and get around to watching them. So thanks to everybody who messaged us to watch it. It was utterly brilliant. One other film that we need to talk about that we both watched on an aeroplane, which was King Richard.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So this was quite a contentious choice because obviously Will Smith disgraced himself at the Oscars, winning the Oscar for Best Actor.
I think he should have hit Chris Rock with a tennis racket. You know, I think it would have had more impact.
Do you know, I suddenly like clenched my buttocks quite hard when you started that sentence.
Really?
I was like, oh my God, what's he going to say? But it was okay.
It was a joke.
But this film and him in it and the entire cast is completely breathtaking.
Yeah.
But just the idea that he actually exists, Richard Williams, is a man. And he is one of... What I loved about it is that he's in equal measure a completely big pain in the ass.
Yes.
And stubborn and annoying. He would really annoy me if I was married to him. But at the same time, he is so devoted as a dad, pushy to the point where you're like, oh, is this abuse? But at the same time, those girls owe their whole career to their dad. And they had to work, don't forget, as young Black Americans, they had to work twice as hard as any white American did to get to where they got to. Oh my God, it was so good!
So I'd heard about this guy, Richard, because Richard Bacon had interviewed him on his podcast years ago called The Daily Bacon. You know, it was a Radio 5 live show that then got turned into a podcast. He listened to it every day. It was so good. But he was on, and I remember Richard talking to him about this very strange thing that he'd done, that I think he'd even thought about it before they were born. That he thought...
He'd
written this kind of plan for them, you know, and then he kind of acted it out and played it out.
And he would not divert away from the plan. Like, he had to stick to the plan.
Remarkable. And he would do this thing where... I remember him saying that he would get his girls to play on this tennis course and pay people to shout abuse at them while they were playing tennis.
Racist abuse,
And it was just like, really? Like, it just sounds bizarre. And he was saying, yeah, well, you know, you've got to toughen up. People will say some horrible things about you while you're playing tennis. Like, just amazing. But it was a really good film. I loved it. I loved the tennis coach, the guy with the hair and the mustache.
So good.
I can't remember his name.
He was brilliant, wasn't he?
Yeah. It was a guy with a really...
Him.
Oh, yeah, it was him. God, I was trying to work it out. Yeah, so he's in The Wolf of Wall Street as well. So John Bernthal, I have no idea that was his name, but he was fantastic in it as well. And the frustration he felt all the time having to deal with this the Richard guy was brilliant. So if you've not seen this film, get 7.5 on IMDb.
I think it deserves more than that.
2 hours 24, but I don't ever remember it feeling that it was that long. I was so engrossed in the film.
Yeah.
I wonder whether it's been marked down or people have done it since he hit Chris Rock, you know, just a bit edgy about it. It's a real shame that the whole film's
really
been overshadowed
by
this, because I love Will Smith in everything and anything. I've never seen him in a bad movie.
Me either.
He always seems so good.
He
so
really messed up.
It is a shame that. If anyone's not seen Hancock, that's one of my all-time favourite family movies. I mean, it's a bit edgy. So you need your kids to probably be 13 or 14, I think, to watch it. But he's a kind of superhero. I really wished he didn't have any superpowers. I love him in Hancock. It is such a great, great film. But anyway, King Richard, give it a whirl. You won't regret it.
I'm going to recommend something that isn't expensive because I feel like I have recommended a few expensive things. And this is Fern Cotton does art appreciation days, as I've talked about before. She recommends maybe 5 or 6 artists sort of once a week. And these art appreciation posts are brilliant. If you're looking for any art in your house, just keep looking at Fern Cotton's page and she will post something. And we've bought a piece of art from an artist that we've seen on her art appreciation page. She posted one the other day that I really like, but you must keep looking because, you know, sometimes you won't like any of them, but one day you'll see one. Anyway, you quite liked it as well. She's called Kristin Voskort.art. So C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N. VOSCORT.art on Instagram. And she did portraits in all different, some watercolour, some acrylic, sort of line drawings that she fills in with colours. And she sells prints and they're very cheap.
Are they?
And if you got maybe 8 prints.
I get some for studio.
Yeah, if you got like 8 prints and then put them in a row or something, they'd look fantastic. All the different hairdos, that's such a good idea. So she does some really massive ones and some not at all. But her Instagram page is a joy to look at. She kind of shows how she paints and how she comes to do these very sort of graphic paintings. She did something, a lovely painting for Ukraine. But she's just great. And the artwork's very affordable. She's got a shop. You can buy prints. You can buy original works of art if you want that are a bit more expensive. But she's great.
Yeah, I'd love some painted hairstyles, actually, for the picture frames I've got at the salon, yeah.
Fab.
Very good indeed. Have I got anything else really at the moment that I could pass on till next week? I mean,
I'm going to pass on a couple of things.
Yeah, okay. I've started watching Severance, which I'd quite like to talk about. I'm going to leave that till next week.
And I've started watching a new Toni Collette. I've deep dived Toni Collette, and I've watched a new Netflix Toni Collette.
What's it called?
Unbelievable.
Well, Kirsty Keegans has just said a really good Netflix series called Unbelievable.
Oh. Well, Kirsty, I'm in the middle of it, and it's a really, really good. But the first episode is very, very traumatic, and I just, again, I don't ever really talk about trigger warnings.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If you've ever experienced anything like that, then you might not want to watch it. Yeah. It's quite graphic.
Okay. So Amber Grieve has said, "I've just discovered the air fry guy."
Oh my God!
Insta.
There's a guy.
Yeah. His songs are hilarious.
Oh my God.
He makes up little jingles for his foodie creations, and it made me think about Michael. I thought he ought to follow suit and jingle the ingredients for some busy deep fat fryer recipes. Absolutely. So,
Amber, that's a brilliant idea. Yeah. But you know who'd love that?
Chester.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's called The Air Fryer Guy.
Not the... Just
no,
air
sorry.
Fryer.
Yes. Air fryer guy on Instagram.
Fryer guy. Okay, I'm going to tell Chester about that. He'll love it.
We're going to follow him, the air fryer guy. Thanks very much indeed for that, Amber. And then Kerry Challoner says, "Hi, Davina and Michael. Sounds like you had a lovely Easter break. After listening to your recent episode, I found myself shouting, I absolutely loved pieces of her. I've been watched it with my eldest daughter when she came home recently. Also, I heard your clip, Mel Robbins. I've been following her for..." Oh, yeah,
Mel
Robbins.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, yeah.
I've been watching Mel Robbins all week.
Happy?
She's really good.
Okay, great. I've been following her for a while. I'm currently listening to her book, Take Control of Your Life.
Oh.
It's really good.
Oh, okay. Audiobook, Take Control of Your Life by Mel Robbins. That is a good recommendation.
Great.
Thank you so much, Kerry.
Yeah, great stuff.
I love our listeners. They're amazing.
Could help me. Hello again. I'm honestly not a stalker. So last message. No. You can send as many messages as you like. Lucy loves podcast. I can see you've read my message, so either no response is a polite no, or has my request been overlooked? I won't keep bothering you because I know how annoying it can be. I'd love you to be guests on my podcast. It's only 20 minutes of fun and chat. Many thanks, Lucy. Let's have a look. I don't even know what that is. What happens, Lucy, sometimes is Olivia reads our messages, so it looks like they've been read, but we haven't necessarily read them, and then she puts them in a separate compartment for us to read. So we will have a little look.
I'll tell you what, Lucy, if we're also completely honest, we get so many requests from people we know who are dear friends of ours to go on their podcast, but we're so busy, it's hard enough to try and get together to do this.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Isn't it?
It's 8 o'clock at night.
It's not because we don't want to. We'd love to do it, but it's literally, we are so short on time.
Gina Ribena sent something. It says, "This is our family pledge." Should we listen to it?
Yeah.
"If you look authentic, different, trans, or gay, I love and respect you every single day. I speak up for what's right and help those when they need. I follow my instincts and the path that I lead. I nurture my soul, my body, and my mind. I don't need to be perfect. To myself, I'll be kind. If I need help, I will ask. That's a brave thing to do. And if I do something wrong, I'll say sorry to you too. I'll forever work hard, explore, learn, and play. I don't need to have it all sorted, but I'll do these each day. Loving thoughts, loving words, loving heart. On this day, I am safe. I am loved. Life is great. You've been... Yay! If you look..."
Aww.
"Hello, guys. Great to have you back in my ears. Just listening to this week's ep and motos.it reminded me..." I don't know what that is.
No.
"...that I discovered..."
Emmeline Carroll Southwell.
"...on TikTok in lockdown. She's written a book of her family pledge. Great experts on socials. Much love, Gina."
So she'd be a good person to follow in on TikTok. Emmeline Carroll Southwell.
Ah, nice. Yes, that was very good. Thank you very much, Gina Ribena. Great name. One last one from Vixter. I've heard there is a Hurdle 80s. What does that mean?
Oh, so tracks. It's only 80s tracks. You know, where you have to guess the song.
Oh, yes. Oh, Hurdle was Wordle for music.
Yes.
And there's an 80s one.
Yes.
Okay, we've got to track that down.
I loved Hurdle. Yeah, it was good. I'm not being funny or anything, but I was very good at it.
Were you?
Yeah.
Were you that good at it?
Yeah. I'm not being funny, but I was.
What are you having for your tea tonight? Have you already
I've
had
eaten.
It? Have you?
Yeah.
I'm so hungry.
So I had a picky plate. Mm-hmm. So I had hummus, mm-hmm. carrots, mm-hmm. sugar snap peas, mm-hmm. some salami, mm-hmm. Some olives, and some feta.
Bloody hell. That sounds like a lot. Did you just have bits of it?
I had like bits of it, yeah.
Did you have 300 calories worth, do you reckon?
Much more than that.
More than that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Well, salami, Jesus.
So we with
my
some...
salami was like,
yeah,
you know,
that must
500.
Be quite a lot, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. We were with some people this weekend who fast regularly.
Yes.
And they really sold it to me.
Yeah, they really sold it to me. Like fast, no, but we're talking 3 days. And he went, the first day you're really hungry, but the second day you feel amazing.
Yeah.
And it was 800 calories a day?
800 calories a day, yeah.
But they went somewhere to do it. They were in a proper place.
A proper place.
Because we've got to remember that extreme weight loss and fasting and things like that are not something that you should do willy-nilly. Let's think of Sean, the cricketer.
Yeah.
What was his name?
I don't know.
Sean, the famous...
Famous cricketer.
Cricketer, Australian, went out with Liz...
Shane Warne.
Shane.
Yes.
Shane Warne.
Oh, was he a faster?
Well, he was on a crash diet, so he was doing like the big thing and he had a heart attack.
Oh, yeah, don't fancy the idea
so
of that.
So you just, you know, it's not something you just kind of think, oh, I'm going to fast on my own for fun. Like,
that's quite interesting,
you have to
though.
Be careful.
Okay.
And I think that's why they give you 800 calories. It's got to be very, very measured.
Yeah.
And, you know, make sure that you're healthy before you do that.
Yes. Steve.
Don't use it as a way to... get fit.
Steve the dad bod did a post on fasting that I thought was really good, because he said you can go crazy on it, but he said it's really not good for you.
No.
I love Steve the dad bod.
We love Steve. He got in touch with us.
Yes.
We got so starstruck. well, didn't we?
Yes, we
it was
did.
Really funny. I was like, oh my God, Steve's got in touch.
He's from America
as
well.
And he was like, if I can help Michael in any way get rid of his dad bod.
Yeah, liposuction is what I'm thinking about.
No!
Come on, it'd be easy that way. I think if it sucked out all the fat,
no.
I could keep it off.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
You don't need to.
Okay.
You're beautiful.
I hope everybody's having a lovely week so far. It's only Tuesday, isn't it?
It's only Tuesday, but when they listen, it's on Friday. Mm-hmm. And we hope you love the podcast. We've done a lot of
been a lot this week.
Offshoots.
Yeah, good. Next week, this podcast will come to you via Turkey.
Oh, yes. We're going for work. We're working in Turkey, people. Yeah.
And we'll maybe think of Turkey things to talk about. Maybe one turkey thing each.
What, Christmas?
Okay. Shall we draw a line under today's episode?
Let's draw a line.
Go and listen to those music songs that we talked about.
Watch my menopause documentary on Monday, please.
Oh my God, absolutely. That's a no-brainer. And watch King Richard and Coda, and go and eat in the restaurants and things we've talked about.
And dance to the music.
Yes. Lots of love.
We love you.
Everybody.